I even get into the presentation, I really wanted to introduce some important key players in this endeavor. It was, it was a pilot program. It took a lot of concerted effort on the part of our team, and we were all very ably guided by our chief, Pat Raymond, of the Immunization Division, and we would never have gotten very far without our vaccine manager, Mark Francisconi, who made sure we had our vaccines and got them at a great price, which the providers really appreciated. And last but not least, Randall Lynn from the Wellness Company, who made sure that everyone got their vaccine, got what they ordered, and got it on time, and sometimes even got it there within a 24-hour period. So we're very proud of our team members. Okay. The program was conceived a few years ago. This was in response to a request by providers that they are given access to influenza vaccine on a timely basis and the amounts that they needed to vaccinate their patients. I think this grew out of a response from the 0405 shortage, where providers were having difficulty getting vaccine on their own. Legislation was then passed in 2006 mandating that the Department of Health come up with a program so that Rhode Islanders could be immunized against the flu and that they could be immunized not only in other complementary areas, but especially in their own doctor's offices. And looking in terms of the logic model again, although I don't have it up here because we're actually doing a process evaluation, and I'll get into that. We really wanted to make sure that we increased the number of Rhode Islanders who did receive influenza vaccination, especially those who are at high risk, which, as we all know, are those with chronic illnesses, or who are immunosuppressed, pregnant women, healthcare providers, and direct contacts of those people who give care to high-risk groups. We did try to improve access to vaccine to providers and the different activities. Again, if you look at the logic model, this would be the activities. We tried to identify and recruit adult healthcare providers, which in and of itself, even though we're in a small state, it wasn't that easy to figure out. There really wasn't. We had a public health directory. But it, we ended up having to purchase an additional database just to be able to identify, believe it or not, the number of adult care providers in the state. We worked with a software developer to come up with an easy online and ordering process that enrollers could, enrolled providers could access fairly easily. We needed to provide training for the providers because a lot of adult providers especially have never given vaccines in their office. So we did need to talk to them a little bit about vaccine storage and handling so that we would get vaccine out to them and it would remain viable. We also contracted with, again, the wellness company who was responsible for distributing the vaccine in the state. And I think we did have a good idea when we decided to go with a local distribution company because there were initially some bumps in the road over the amount of vaccine providers ordered and not having enough. So we, in using a local distribution company, we were able to get more vaccine out to them in a timely fashion. We ended up with a database of about 900 adult providers who received enrollment materials through the mail. We sent two packets out to each facility because, as you know, sometimes the doc will get it and put it in a pile with the rest of the stuff, or a nurse will get it and do the same thing. So we figured by sending out two enrollment packets per practice, we'd have a 50-50 chance of having someone open it. The original deadline we gave providers, the packets went out in June. We gave them till July 13th. Of course, only about 3/4 or 2/3 of the providers enrolled. So we ended up enrolling people much later than that. And in fact, we enrolled a practice in December that had just opened its doors. So basically, enrollment remained open for this first year. We also asked, we directed providers to our website because, in addition, we wanted to get them used to going to our website and using the information provided there. We required the providers give us demographic information and also to give us information about their high-risk patients, because if we were to be faced with a shortage, we wanted to make sure that the high-risk individuals did receive vaccines. So we did ask them to provide orders for high-risk individuals and then the vaccine that they required for the rest of their patients. We also made sure to certify a practice by making sure that the lead provider, the lead medical director, or the lead doctor provided their medical license number, so we knew that they were allowed to receive vaccine. They needed to print out an agreement to participate, which they then faxed to us, and that's what we used to certify their practice. All in all, 412 providers did enroll, and it did. It was a nice cross section for the most part. There were 60% private practices. We did have health centers, nursing homes. Hospitals enrolled, mass immunizers, and other businesses, some state agencies. So we did have a cross-section of different types of venues. We required, again, that a representative from each practice did come to a 90-minute training. We did our best to make sure that these trainings were held in different areas of the state. Now, I realize, you know, it only takes an hour to cross a state, but for a busy provider, we really needed to make it as easy as possible for people to come. And we went over briefly vaccine storage and handling, and then we went over the different administrative forms that we needed them to submit to us. We did come up with a distribution plan. We realized that as of the end of September, I think we had most of our vaccine, but we had to come up with a plan to make sure that in the event that we had not received all our vaccine, that there was equitable distribution of vaccine across the different providers. So the first shipment we sent out was 400 doses, or 40% of their total order. The second shipment, they got another 40%, and the third shipment, they got 20%. We ended up, because we did receive ample supply of vaccine in a timely manner, that we were able to get everyone their vaccine by the end of October. We ordered about 248 doses. At this writing, there were approximately 1,000 doses left in the warehouse, so we did get most of it out. According to provider interviews, there's about 25,000 doses still circulating. We did decide at one point, or we did meet at one point, to see if we needed to order more vaccine when we started seeing widespread flu in Rhode Island. But since we did have enough doses in circulation, which we knew because we were getting provider inventories, that we decided not to order more for the state, and we did have enough. Again, going back to the flexibility of our distribution company, if someone needed an additional vaccine, we were able to transfer it among providers. And then there are some providers who do have some vaccine left over. Now, as far as the development of the evaluation, we did receive funding from CDC and guidance from an advisor, Farouk, who worked with us to develop the evaluation plan. Now, this is a process evaluation, which means that we, because we are still in flu season, we don't have the BRFSS data that's going to tell us whether or not there were more individuals in Rhode Island who did receive a flu shot. However, we can evaluate the process by which we attempted to increase the rates of influenza vaccination in Rhode Island. So we are evaluating the outputs and not the outcomes at this point. We are fortunate in Rhode Island to have some partners who worked with us on this. We did establish a flu advisory, which had representatives from the health plans, from the Adult Immunization Coalition in Rhode Island, from the different visiting nurse associations, private providers. So again, a good cross-section of our partners. And they helped to guide us not only in our efforts to do the pilot, but also in our efforts to evaluate the program. We did develop a set of questions and a plan, and we asked the flu advisory members to look over the plan, decide if they thought we had addressed the outputs of the program and whether or not there were other questions, depending on their perspective, that we should add to the evaluation without making it overly lengthy. We originally had thought we would do focus groups, but we did decide that in order to evaluate the program, not necessarily the knowledge and attitudes about flu shots that people had, we wanted to know how convenient was it to get your flu shot at your doctor's office or your local drugstore. So we did decide to do phone surveys, patient interviews in doctor's offices, and we also did phone surveys with the providers. I'm getting ahead of myself here. The evaluation process, therefore, was used to assess how well we did our activities and our outputs. How did we identify and recruit the adult care providers? Did we provide adequate training in the program administration? Did we develop easy online enrollment and ordering? And were we able to track successfully the vaccine orders and make sure that distributors received their vaccine in a minimal amount of time? The patient evaluation criteria was, did they get their flu shot at their doctor's office? Did their doctors tell them that they were offering flu shots this year? How convenient was it to get a flu shot at their doctor's office? And did the health plans cover their flu shot? The evaluation methodology that we're using for the providers, for the most part, we are staying in contact and communicating with most of our providers via email. I've been sending out email updates once or twice a month, and so we're going to be sending a Survey Monkey out. When I get back from this conference, we'll probably send it out to providers. We did do in-depth telephone surveys with about 5% of providers, and we did do, again, the patient interviews in the offices, the health centers, to establish whether or not they thought it was a convenient place to get a flu shot. Of the 21 telephone surveys that we've conducted thus far with the providers, without exception, they were very happy with the support they got from health. And I must say that this is a very labor-intensive program if you're thinking about doing something similar in your state. The staff is pretty much at the beginning of this season or the program enrollment until the last provider got their vaccine, you're pretty much glued to the phone. You walk them through enrollment, you walk them through the ordering process. It was a new experience for all of us, and it did take a lot of staff time to make sure everyone was satisfied. But in the end, it did pay off, and a lot of people said that they would enroll in the program again. We did choose a later start date in Rhode Island. We did query our partners initially to find out, did they want to start on October 1st when everyone wanted their flu shot, or did we want to wait and have an official start date of October 17th to make sure there was enough vaccine in the state before we started allowing providers to vaccinate. And it was pretty much unanimous that they wanted a later start date because they didn't want to have any disruptions in a service. As you know, if you start vaccinating and then you stop, people start to panic. No more vaccine. What do? We got to rush out and get our flu shot. So we did have an official start date of October 17th, which many of the private practices were happy with because that allowed them to vaccinate their patients before they got a flu shot at their local drugstore. They liked the fact that they did not have to pay for flu vaccine, and if some of you attended some of the other sessions where they talked about the wide variety of prices that providers were paying for a flu vaccine, we were able to get a decent price for them, and they weren't charged anything. They weren't charged to receive the vaccine, so they were very happy with that. Again, the distribution company that we chose, the wellness company, they were very responsive. Sometimes there was a quick 24-hour turnaround time if they needed more vaccine. Of the 129 patient interviews that we've conducted so far, believe it or not, 71% were satisfied with the October 17th start date. We were thinking that the patients would have grumbled a lot more about having to wait, but they didn't. 94% received a flu shot at the doctor's office. 88% found this very convenient. Only 63% of providers informed their patients that they were giving flu shots, which I thought was rather odd, and there's some work to be done there as far as getting out materials to providers and encouraging them to make sure that their patients know that they can get a flu shot there. Of the patients who answered, they really had no particular preference for a venue for a flu shot. It didn't really make any, as long as it was convenient, it really didn't make any difference where they went. And no one had any issues as far as being having their health plan pay for their flu shot. We did use an eligibility algorithm because the health plans, of course, were assessed fees to purchase the vaccine, and so therefore it needed to go to Rhode Island, insured Rhode Islanders. So we came up with an algorithm for the providers to follow, and sometimes it got a little confusing. We had some residents of Rhode Island who had insurance out of state, and some of the providers didn't accept that insurance. And there were a lot of what we call border providers who saw both Massachusetts and Connecticut patients, and they weren't allowed to give a Rhode Island state-supplied dose of vaccine to them. So that got a little confusing because they were asked to purchase a separate vaccine for them. They did complain about the paperwork, which we have since streamlined. We do, of course, we will have them continue to do inventories because we need to know at any given time how much vaccine is out there from a public health standpoint. And we do, of course, need to confirm that they're taking care of that vaccine. There were some issues around billing. Some people who had never billed before had a little trouble figuring it out. There were different codes and different claim information that needed to be submitted, but all in all, that wasn't a real tremendous issue. We also have in Rhode Island what we call the restitution policy, which meant that we told the providers up front that if they did not use more than 5% of their order, that they were going to have to reimburse us. That will be an issue, I'm sure, going forward when the flu season ends and people are faced with the number of doses they still have in the refrigerator. But since it is a pilot year, we decided to up that to 10%. So they're only responsible for 10% of their total order that they did not use for the season. And that is basically a wrap up. Again, like I said, this was a process evaluation. We're just at this point evaluating the activities and the outputs of the program, and hopefully we'll be able to use BRFSS data to evaluate whether or not we did increase rates of adult flu immunization in the state of Rhode Island. Thank you.
I think what we'll do, because we have a third very short presentation, I want to make sure we get through it, and then we'll take questions for Virginia. Just one thing I want to say, because I don't want to forget, is You know, I hate to hear you refer to this as just a process evaluation. Because I actually think that's a critical piece of it. And it may be several years until you see measurable change in the BRFSS. And in the meantime, it is really critical that you look at how your program is being implemented. And that's the whole point of a process evaluation, as Jana said before, is looking at, are you doing what you think you're doing? Is it all unfolding the way you want it to unfold, et cetera? So it's really critical.